accepting us and loving us unconditionally. I pray that we would be sensitive to your message to us through the sermon. Just thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you guys help me move that plant right next to the table? Sorry about that. Okay, thanks. All right. Thank you, guys. And do we have, I know we do have, we have some gardeners in here, right? Anybody want to tell us if they like, they have a green thumb, they like to garden? Okay, well, nobody. All right, we got one brave soul who's willing to share that with us. And, you know, we're in the winter season, but pretty soon spring is coming on its way. And some of us are already doing some gardening, you know, tilling the soil. And we're ready. We're ready for those flowers to bloom, right? We're ready for those flowers to bloom. And did you get a few roses? Guys, good job on the carnations this weekend, huh? Good job. Yeah, we're ready for those flowers to bloom. And also, because we didn't have a cold, we didn't really have that bad of a freeze. I don't think we're going to get a freeze. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to some fruit. I'm looking forward to my loquat tree bearing some fruit. And I think all of us, we like fruit. Yeah? We like fruit. We like to eat fruit. My family loves fruit. I mean, you come by my house, you can often see one of my sons just chomping on an apple. I mean, we go through apples like crazy, you know, or eating oranges. We really love our fruit. And I bet you do too. And not only from a food or vegetation standpoint, but from a life standpoint, we like to be fruitful. We like to be, you know, fruitful and multiply, right? We like that. We like that. We like to we like our character, our life character, to be filled with what? The fruit of joy, right? We like that. And we like to be productive, right? We like to be fruitful. We want our lives to count for something. In fact, the opposite of fruitful is what? Unfruitful, right? But, okay, we learn in school supposed to define words using the same word, right? You know, that's kind of too easy. So we can also say the opposite of fruitful is wasteful, being wasteful. And we don't want to be wasteful with our lives, do we? I mean, in fact, John Piper has written a book, and it's called Don't Waste Your Life. That's aim of his book, right? Because we want our lives to be fruitful and to count for something. In fact, John Piper, in the introduction to his book, Don't Waste Your Life, he tells the story of his dad, who was a humorous, yet a very fiery preacher. And his dad would tell these heart-gripping stories of people trying to woo them to trust in Jesus and to follow Jesus. And he says, yeah, one of the greatest, the most heart-wrenching story for John Piper as he listened to his dad, that fiery preacher. He says it was the story that he told of an old man who the church had been praying for decades. And then one night he finally came to the church service and he trusted in Jesus, received the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But at that time as well, he came weeping to John Piper's dad saying, "I've wasted it. I've wasted it." And it was thinking back on his life, this old man, and John Piper's dad's story in tears. And the man is in tears. And Piper writes, he says, "This was the story that gripped me more than all the stories of young people who died in car wrecks before they were converted. The story of an old man weeping that he had wasted his life. In those early years, God awakened in me," John Piper, "a fear and a passion not to waste my life. The thought, wasted it, I've wasted it, was a fearful and horrible thought to me." And, you know, we are all concerned right now and saddened by death around us. We're saddened and concerned by the coronavirus. We are saddened by hearing of loved ones who have died. We are saddened by hearing of famous people such as Kobe Bryant and his daughter, who was just 13 years of age, that their life has come to an end. But if the one positive thing that we can draw from all of this, perhaps it's the realization that we only have one life. That we only have one life, and so we want to make it count. And so this morning, whether you're 13 or whether you're in your 60s, I want to help us through the scriptures to find out how we can live a fruitful life, a meaningful life. Do you want to have a fruitful life? Let's take a look. Let's take a look for some insights into this as we continue in our study of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 12. So turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. We're going to be going from verses 12 through 25. Do you want to have a fruitful life? You want to have a fruitful life? Let's find out. Now, we're coming into verse 12, having just come out of verse 11. And in chapter 11, we have 3 days. The first day is verses 1 through 11. And we find out that in verse 11, that Jesus had finally arrived into Jerusalem. He got there. He got to Jerusalem. And he goes into the temple. And he looks around at everything. He gets a lay of the land, because what's going to come in the next two chapters are some pretty strong confrontations. So it's late. And then he goes out to Bethany, and the 12 are with him. And picking up in verse 12, we see that on day two, on the following day, they came out from Bethany. And Bethany is a great name. I know some of my friends, they named their daughters Bethany. But Bethany is a small town just outside of Jerusalem. It's just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, so it's a pretty easy walk. It's like walking from here to La Centera, you know, or Cinco Ranch Junior High. So they're coming out of Bethany on the day two. And what's the circumstance for our setting? Well, the Lord Jesus, he's hungry. Okay? So a little foreshadowing here. We're going to be looking for some food. Okay, perhaps. Verse 13. Now seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf. Okay? So we see in a distance, we're far away, but we see a fig tree. And but we got to go up and closer examine it. So he went to see if he could find anything on it. But when he comes to it, he finds nothing. Nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. And he says to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard it. So this is an object lesson. It's a teaching lesson here. So what's going on? Well, okay, the fig tree, we're probably about a week out of Passover, so we're kind of in the springtime, and we're looking at this fig tree, and we're hoping that it has some fruit, but it's not the season for figs. But at least the fig tree should have some saplings, some young, some green figs that aren't ready to be eaten. But we don't even have that. And so as a result, Jesus curses the fig tree and tells it that may no one ever eat fruit of you again. Now, what does that all represent? What does that all represent? Well, for the Jew, the fig tree was representative, most likely, of Israel. And more specifically, the Israeli religious leadership. And from a distance, it may look like the fig tree is very promising. It may look like Israel and their religious system is very promising. They may look good on the outside, but as we approach closer and we examine, we see that they got nothing. They got nothing. And so in the same way, the Jew of Jesus' day could no longer trust in what the Jewish leadership was leading them to trust in, which was really a self-righteous system, because that was empty. That was empty. And if you notice some of the superlatives in Jesus' condemnation of the old system, verse 14 says, may no one, nobody ever, for all time, eat fruit from you again. And so, friends, as we try to understand that to today, we've talked about how in Mark's audience, they probably were not trusting so much in the Jewish religious system. Maybe they were trusting in Roman gods. Maybe they were trusting in money. Maybe they were trusting in social status. They, too, could no longer trust Mark's audience later on in what they had formerly been trusting in. And so for us, friends, how can we be fruitful for the kingdom of God? How can we be fruitful for the kingdom of God? We have to part ways with past and potentially present idols. Part ways with past and potentially present idols. And so what are those objects of trust that I have been trusting in, that you have been trusting in, that give the impression, give the appearance, give the allure of truly offering life, but when you really see it, it's got nothing. It's got nothing. What is it that we have been or are still trusting in? Is it our accomplishments? Is it our performance? Is it the approval of others? Is it our children? Is it money? Whatever it might be, I doubt if it's keeping the Torah, you know, like the Jew, or worshiping Jupiter like the Romans, right? But what is it? And I myself have to part ways with past and present idols. Just 2 weeks ago, I went and saw my mom's cemetery plaque for the first time since she went to be with the Lord a year and a half ago. And, you know, my mom was a great mom. She was great. However, she may have passed on some values to me that may not have fully moved me to trust in God. I can't judge her heart, but I do know that my mom, she worked in the grocery store, even though she had a college degree and was a school teacher. She just worked in the family grocery store. And so every day at 3:00, my mom, right when the stock market closed, she would call the stockbroker. Because that was back in the day with no internet. You know, today you just, you know, it pops up on your iPhone everywhere, you know, the stock of IBM or Walt Disney or whatever it is. She had to call, and she went down her list of those stocks that she owned. What is the closing price? Okay, and she wrote it every day. And then when we got home at 7:00, you know, My wife and I, we were talking about what it was like growing up. One of the only things I remember about growing up and dinner with my family is that at 7:00 every night, Monday through Friday, we watched the nightly business report. And everything, the same thing. Oh, the Dow Jones this, S&P 500, closing price of this, every night. Okay? Now, so here I am, fast forward, you know, 30 years, and just this last week, I buy a few more shares of a mutual fund, okay? But within me, there's this tug. Every day I want to look on the internet, see, you know, did it go up 0.5 points, did it go up 1 point, whatever. I have to guard myself. Do I really think that having that big, fat, you know, pastor's bank account is really the source of life? I need to part ways with past and present idols and cling to the true King. But let's keep moving. That's Act 1. That's Act 1 in our passage today. Act 2, verse 15. So, they came to Jerusalem. They got there. We have arrived. This long, you know, once again, they got there in the first 11 verses. They went out, then they came back in. They came to Jerusalem, and he goes right to the heart of the tiger, as he did in verse 11. He enters the temple, and he begins to drive out those, both the sellers and the buyers in the temple, okay? So he's driving out. Now, we just learned in our Sunday school class that you read other gospels sometimes horizontally. So if you look in John chapter 2, you find out, sorry, I didn't bring my whip, but he had a whip of cords, and he's driving them out. He's driving out the buyers and the sellers, okay? Not just the sellers, but the buyers too. And then he goes over and he turns over. That's right. He turns it over. The tables of the money changers. And then what does he do? The seats. That's right. The seats of those who are selling the pigeons. It turns over their seats. You know, they might have had one of those squatty seats. I don't know. You know, back in the old country, they got those small seats. I don't know what kind of seats they were, but he turns over. And then furthermore, verse 16, he doesn't allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. I didn't bring my orange cones, but he's kind of setting up orange cones, right? He doesn't want them to use, most likely what's going on is he doesn't want them to use the temple as a shortcut, as just a shortcut for traffic, for whatever they were going to do. Just like, you know, I don't really like it when people use our church as a shortcut. You know, some people do that. They use the shortcut from Racener to Saddle Spur. They cut through our church parking lot. You know, I don't like that. You know, I'm going to get out there with my orange vest and no. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is doing. He got his orange vest on. No. Don't use my temple. Because what are they doing? They're misusing and abusing the true purpose of the temple of God, which in the Old Testament was the locus of the very presence of God. Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with changing money. Why did they have to change money? Because in Exodus 30, it says that you have to pay the temple tax in what? In a shekel. And so this is a Jewish form of currency, but the best, closest to it is the currency from Tyre. So they had to take their Roman currency and change it into something close to the shekel, some kind of Tyrian currency. So that's fine. It's fine to change money. It's fine to buy animals for sacrifice. We're still making sacrifices, pigeons, whatever it is. That's fine. But just don't let that be the primary purpose in the temple. Do it 2 miles away, you know, at La Cintura or something, Mount of Olives, and take care of those secondary purposes, because the primary purpose of the temple is for the worship of God. And so they were probably doing this in the outer courts, the court of the Gentiles, where the Gentile could come and also worship God. And we see that written in verse 17. He was teaching them. So Jesus is kind of putting on this show as an object lesson, right? And he says to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer'?" The most primal form of worship is just praying. That's the purpose of it. And for all the nations, for tos ethnes, I don't quite got the pronunciation correct, but for all the nations, all people are supposed to come, including the Gentiles. They can come into the outer court, but you have misused it. You've turned it into a cave of something else, of robbers. And so this was probably a decision made by Caiaphas, the high priest, to allow this kind of commerce to take place in the outer courts. And so Jesus is clearly, he's clearly speaking, confronting them right away. He's, you know, rebuking the leadership. They know this. And so verse 18 tells us that the conflict intensifies. Verse 18 tells us the chief priests and the scribes heard it, and they're seeking, we want to take him out. We want to get rid of Jesus. Because he's threatening our authority. He's threatening our power. He's threatening our position. But they fear him. Why? Because all the crowd are wowed by the teaching of Jesus. And then our second act closes as the evening comes and they go out of the city. So they go leave Jerusalem. So friends, how can the Jew, how can we now be fruitful for the true King of Kings? Well, first we need to part ways with past or present idols, but we need to purify our purpose for our participation in church and church being the people of God. It's not the building, right? We tell that to our children all the time. The church, not the building, it's the people. And so we need to purify our purpose. And so what is your purpose? What is your purpose for participating with the people of God, with the church? What is my purpose? And I'm reminded that my purpose is not so that I can glorify Pastor Way. It's not all about me. When I participate in the church, it's not about people coming up and say, "Oh, Pastor Way, you preach such great sermons." You know, it's not about growing the church bigger and bigger and bigger so that I can feel good about it. And we teach our worship team that as they participate with the people of God, it's not about them getting attention and adulation. But the purpose is to enhance our own worship of God and bring others into the hot, white worship of God, all the peoples. And so, friends, would you purify that right now? What is your purpose? Why are you here participating? At least you're here. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to the choir, right? I need to be preaching to the people who ain't even here. At least you show up. That's 80% of it, right? But would you purify? Would you ask God right now to purify your purpose in church participation? And so I'm so thankful for a man in our congregation, and for, I would say, almost a whole year, this brother in Christ would meet with a teenager almost every week, I think, and they would have discipleship. And I'm not exactly sure what they did. I think, you know, I know they were talking. They probably prayed together, shared some scriptures together. But this man was fulfilling a true purpose. He was himself worshiping God and helping others in their worship of God. He was bearing fruit. And I thank God for many of you who are investing in helping others worship God and grow in their relationship with God. And that teenager is now in college, and he's playing a few computer games, but he's leading Bible studies, and he's helping others at college to worship God. So let us purify our purpose for church participation. And in our third act, verse 20, we're going into day 3. And we see that in verse 20, that as they pass by, it's the next morning, so the next day, so they see the fig tree, and it's withered away to its roots. And Peter remembers. And he says to him, Rabbi, look, it worked. You really are pretty miraculous. You really are pretty powerful. It worked. Look, the fig tree you cursed, it withered. Your words really are pretty powerful, Rabbi. Yeah, look at that. And verse 22, Jesus, he just says, and here's an imperative. This is an imperative. Have faith in God. Believe in God. Now, and he elaborates, verse 23. Amen. Amen. Truly, I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and he does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Verse 24. Conclusion. Therefore, I tell you, whatever y'all ask in prayer, believe that y'all have received it, and it will be y'all's. And whenever y'all stand praying, forgive. Y'all forgive. If y'all have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive y'all's trespasses. Okay, now that was the TESV translation. I'm the author of the TESV, the Texan English Standard Version. Because see, you know, in English, we don't have those plural markers in our nouns and verbs in the second person plural. Now, a lot of languages do, right? Greek does. So if you look in the Greek, you can see if the verb is plural and if the noun is plural. Chinese has it too, like in the noun, right? We say ni or ni man, right? We can tell. But the verb, we can't tell. It's all sure, right? Ni men sure, ni sure. But in Greek, you can tell both from the noun and the verb. So I gave you the TESV translation. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But friends, how can we bear fruit? How can we be fruitful? We want to part with the past, idols or present, purify our purpose, and pray. Pray with faith and forgiveness. Pray with faith and forgiveness, and we will bear fruit for God. Now, what does this mean? What is this meaning, praying with faith? Okay, so we have here that Jesus tells them, it's the plural there too also, by the way, in verse 22. Have faith. Y'all have faith in God. Okay, believe. And that's, and he says, now it does, he says, okay, whoever says to this mountain, I didn't have my mountain. So this is our mountain, okay? And you just say to the mountain, go into the sea. And I got to believe in my heart that it's going to happen. And it's going to happen. Is that, what's going on here? Well, there's a lot of things with faith. So what does that mean? Okay, Lord, I believe I get $1 million. I believe. And am I going to get it? You know, God, I believe I'm going to graduate number one. I believe. All right, I don't mind a little back and forth. Amen. Yeah, you know. Okay. Well, what's going on? Okay, a couple of things. First, don't forget 1 John 5:14-15. Don't forget 1 John 5:14-15. It says, and we know that we have the things that we ask of him what? If we pray according to his will, right? So it has to be within the will of God, okay? And just remember, because the key to faith is the object of our faith, right? It's I believe that you know, Ed can drive me to IAH to catch my airplane, to George Bush. I believe in Ed, you know? I don't believe in Gabriel. Lim, no matter how much I believe that Gabriel can get me there. The key to my faith is who I'm placing my faith in. I'm going to put Ed along, okay? Not in Gabriel. It's just a little faith in Ed. Okay, Ed, come on, take me to the airport. I get in the car and boom, okay, I'm there. So I got to be in accordance with Ed's will, Ed's heart. He don't want me coming into his car, bringing in my CBD, you know, my vaping machines, all this stuff. No, that's not according to Ed's heart and will, okay? So we got to be praying according to the heart and will. Now, second, faith is, it's the object of our faith, But it's also kind of a wheelbarrow faith. Okay, it's a wheelbarrow. It's a whole person kind of wheelbarrow faith. And you guys know the story about the faith in the wheelbarrow in Niagara Falls? You guys know that story, right? The man who says, okay, I'm going to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope with the wheelbarrow, right? So we walk across Niagara Falls, and we're on the tightrope, and I'm across Niagara Falls, and I make it, right? I do that 3 times, right? Pastor Randall told us this story, right? And then they say, okay, how many of you out there think I can do it again? And everybody said, yeah, you can do it. I believe you can do it. And then what does he say? Who's going to get in the wheelbarrow, right? Okay. So that's the kind of faith that we want to be praying with. Wheelbarrow faith. Okay. And if you're praying with wheelbarrow faith, according to the will of God, then you're going to get it. If it's going to, so go ahead and pray. How about pray this? God, maximally glorify yourself through my life. Are you willing to pray that? That's what's harder, moving a mountain into the ocean, or saying, God, maximally glorify yourself through my life. What's harder? That's easy. Moving a mountain to that. All I got to do, mountain to the ocean, buy a bunch of dynamite, blow it up, hire a bunch of tractors, dump trucks. I got my mountain into the ocean. That's hard. This saying, God, maximally glorify yourself in my life. That's harder than a camel going through an eye of a needle, saying, paralytic, get up and walk. That takes a miracle. That takes the Spirit of God. That takes God. But it also says, I'm willing to get in the wheelbarrow. And you know, Jim Elliot prayed that prayer. Jim Elliot, you know who Jim Elliot is? He prayed that prayer. And he said, with the faith of getting in the wheelbarrow, what happened to Jim Elliot? He got martyred by the Auca Indians. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know. If you pray that prayer, is God going to send you to the Aucas, to the Muslims, to whoever, and you're going to get martyred? Maybe. Maybe he will make you be like Bach or Beethoven, and you'll write wonderful symphonies. I don't know. Maybe make you like Jeremy Lin, and you'll win basketball games, and then you'll be able to say, hey, Jesus, believe in Jesus on national TV. I don't know. But will you pray that prayer? We can pray those prayers, but we got to pray with wheelbarrow faith as well. I mean, these are items here in our, how about this? God, help me to love my wife as Jesus loves the church. God, help me to submit to my husband as the church submits to Jesus Christ. Who's willing to pray that with wheelbarrow faith? Because if you do, that may mean that, you know what? I got to do the dishes tonight. I'm going to do the dishes tonight. Up and down our list, we can pray, but we got to pray with wheelbarrow faith. And even this last one, how about this last one on our prayer list? Pray for God to provide financial and prayer partners for the future ministry in Southeast Asia that Randall and Foon will lead. We believe God can do it. He can raise it up, no problem. 5,000, whatever. Every month they need, you can do it. No problem. I believe it. But maybe if you pray that, God wants you to get in that wheelbarrow. And you will be a part of those who will pray and give. Because, you know, our church, we only are going to be supporting them partially. So they are praying for God to raise up more churches and individuals who will pray and contribute. So we got to pray wheelbarrow faith. And lastly, we just need to figure out a time to pray. Because corporately, the y'all prayers. See, it's all y'all. It's y'all. Y'all, when y'all pray, this is something we want to do together. And so, friends, will you pray that we will pray? Wow, that's really getting back to the basics, huh? Because we just got to figure out a time. I don't expect much fruit from our church if we ain't praying. All right? And we, woman, okay? Yes, individual is good, but we got to do the woman too. All right? You guys don't know the Chinese woman means we plural, okay? All right. And the second condition is pray with forgiveness. Pray with forgiveness. And so you got to be standing when you do it. Okay, that's what it says. And what it says in the verse, whenever you stand praying. So let's do that now. Let's all stand. Let's all stand up. Because we got to be standing. We got to follow the Bible, right? All right, now, is there anyone that you are bitter against? Is there anyone you need to forgive? Maybe they have hurt you. It doesn't mean you have to trust them completely. If they've bullied you, it doesn't mean that you share your deepest, darkest secrets with them. But you get to zero. You forgive. Can you do that right now? Can you think of a specific person or people that you need to forgive? Because God says that, you know, if we leave your altar and go make things right with your brother. He says, you know, if I'm not living with my wife in an understanding way, he's not going to hear my prayers. So effective prayer to bear fruit needs forgiveness as well. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. So friends, today we have talked about how to bear fruit, for God, how to not waste our lives. And we want to part with past and present idols. We want to purify our purpose for church participation. And we got to pray. We need to pray with faith and forgiveness. Just about 2 weeks ago, I got news that one of my mentors, Walt Baker, who is the former missions professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, he went to be with the Lord on January 21st. And praise God for the life of Walt Baker. I last saw him almost 4 years ago to this day, February 9th, 2016. He was 80. He died at 90. Almost 91, March 2nd, he would have been 91. So that was 4 years ago. So he was about 87 at the time. And I felt bad because we had been texting back and forth in the last year. And I finally had the courage this last week to go back and look at some of my old texts to him. And I found that I last texted him back in June of last year. And And he was up to the very last minute. He was still serving me, still investing into me, still ministering to me. But in his last text, he did say, pray for me. Doctor says I got 4 to 6 months for my heart. And I don't know, I guess just getting so busy. I've been thinking the last 6 months just to keep communicating with him, but I didn't. You know, I just found out that he's with the Lord right now. And that's okay. I mean, I learned a few lessons of you know, making the most of the opportunities. If you think you should contact someone, go ahead and contact them. But I'll see Walt in heaven. I'll see Walt. We'll be reunited. But what I want us to remember is that Walt, he didn't waste his life. He didn't waste his life. 20 years living in Haiti, 30 years out after that, continuing to minister to people in Haiti, taking short-term trips there, teaching missions at DTS, investing into my life, into meeting Vicky when I first started dating Vicky, and telling way, I think you did really well. I think you did really well. Investing into our preacher last week, Doug Liu, Walt prayed for us. He had a purpose, and he was trusting in the Lord. Would it be that we too would bear fruit for the King of Kings? Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. You are worthy of our praise. We're sorry when we make it about us, when it should be about the true King of Kings. Lord, we don't know if we have one day left or several decades left, but whatever we have left in this temporal world, help us to make it count for eternity, to bear fruit for you. Help us to part ways, to purify, and to pray. In Jesus' name.
As we conclude our worship today with Give Me Faith, we're going to sing Give Me Faith. Let's ask the Lord for the faith that we need to live our lives with purpose every day in all we do, and to produce the fruit that is pleasing to Him.
Give me defend my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can trust in you, that you are trustworthy, and thank you that we can have faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, worship team, and thank you, Pastor Wei, for your message. There's a couple of announcements before we get to the announcements. If you are a first-time visitor with us today, we would love it if you would stop by our connection desk so that we can get some more information from you and also just give you information on how you can plug into our community. Because like Pastor Wei says, we do not believe church is a building. We believe it is the people here. And so we want us all to be united together and get to know each other and grow one another, help each other grow into a stronger faith with each other. And so please stop by the connection desk. But let's go ahead. And if you look at our announcements, a lot of our announcements are based upon how to plug into our community. And so please look at those. But let me just highlight a couple of special announcements. First off, I'd like to highlight that this Friday, Focus, we will not have Focus at our church. We will not have youth group here. Instead, we are going to go to Fort Bend Community Church, and we're going to join them for their Friday night program. They have invited us to come. And so if you have not yet signed up, please sign up. Jeremy is looking forward to seeing our youth join his youth and is having some godly conversations about what church identity looks like. And so please sign up for that event. We will also be having a special event next Sunday for our parents. We will be having another parenting seminar. And in this seminar, we are inviting Dr. Reverend Justin Wong from CBC. He's a youth pastor there. He's going to be coming and he's going to be sharing with us about navigating students and sexuality. And so if you will to just learn more about how to disciple your kids, especially in this difficult topic of sexuality, please join us next Sunday, 9:15. We'll have an English one and 3:03 and 3:04. And then we will have another time that you can hear Justin Wong speak. And room 003 and 004 at 11. Please join us for one of those times. We will also be having a missional picnic for our community groups for English ministry on March 21st. We'll be meeting at Mary Jo Peckin Park, and the event will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Please put that on your calendars. And then the last announcement will be on April 4th, we're holding a micro-parenting conference. This is a conference that all the Houston youth pastors are getting together and hosting with one another. It will be at Fort Bend Community Church, and it's from 9 to 3:30. If you will please sign up, the sign-up is on it's in a bulletin, but it's also there is a flyer with a QR code out on our bulletin board outside. It would be a great event to go if you have teenagers, but also if you have children. It's for children and teenagers, for both parents. So let me go ahead and close us in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. And God, that we can turn to you for our salvation, that we don't